You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Even at the time, it was seen as the most unlikely of relationships. Gene Tunney, a young boxer born into poverty, and George Bernard Shaw, a Nobel Prize-winning playwright, forged a close relationship that in many ways can be said to have been in the making years before the two men even met. In The Prize Fighter and the Playwright, Gene Tunney's son, J.R. Tunney, chronicles the life of his father and the enduring bond he developed with one of the literary giants of all time. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
Was this relationship as unlikely as many believed it to be? How many interests did they have in common?
I think so. I mean, they seemed to be an odd couple. I think a lot of people looked at them that way, as an odd couple. But when they got to know their interests, when they got to know that Shaw really deep down loved boxing, and Gene Tunney loved literature, they began to see where the nexus was created between the two.
A lot of people are surprised by how many writers love boxing. We have Joyce Carol Oates now, and there have been many, many others.
Exactly.
But how important was the Irish connection?
I think that was quite important, too. I mean, they both were Irish. Gene was American-Irish, and Shaw was Irish-Irish, who had moved to Britain. He thought of coming to America at one time in his life, but he switched directions and went to England. But I think they both had the same kind of sense of humor, and they both had the same kind of value for books, for classic books, and for regaling people with stories of experiences they'd had in life.
Your father had a love for literature and poetry from a very early age. Isn't that unusual for someone who's going to become a boxer?
Well, not if you're the son of an Irish stevedore from New York City. You grew up in Greenwich Village.
Was there a large Irish contingent in Greenwich Village in those days?
In those days, there were. And
I knew about Italian-Americans. And maybe that was the next group of immigrants to come into the village.
I think that's true. But I think Gene felt that there was limitations to how far he was going to be able to go in education because his father was had limited income. So he just took the role of what I think a lot of Irishmen have done, including Bernard Shaw, and that is the role of becoming self-educated, an autodidact.
Well, how many children were in the family? And was that one of the reasons the family was so poor?
There was seven, and that's, I think, by Irish standards, relatively limited. It's not too bad.
This was a time when the Irish immigrant community was discriminated against in this country. How much of his desire to grow intellectually do you think was a desire to just be respected?
I think a great deal of that was that. I think there's nothing that the poor Irishmen of the turn of the last century wanted more than respectability. That was the big word, I think, in their book.
And was boxing another way to gain respectability?
It may have been the only way that Gene felt that he could have made a living, frankly, and that was certainly the first step to respectability.
Well, he was undersized for a heavyweight.
Yes.
Didn't he approach boxing in a different way than most?
Yes, he did. He approached it from a means to an end. I think most fellows that get in the ring want to stay there as long as they can and then use the ring for promotions afterwards and advertisements or whatever. But Gene wanted, I think, to use it as a step to maybe a business life afterwards or becoming a writer afterwards. And I think that was what it was.
My guest is J.R. Tunney, Gene Tunney's writer son. He's written a book called The Prize Fighter and the Playwright Gene Tunney and Bernard Shaw. It's published by Firefly. A reminder that you can hear BBC World Service coverage of what's going on in Egypt on our AM side, AM 820. And when President Hosni Mubarak speaks, and he's scheduled to speak somewhere around 1:30 today, We will be presenting that on both AM and 93.9 FM. So, okay, so we have this autodidact kid. He quits high school, but he continues teaching himself, and he also becomes a boxer.
Right.
And this is being – and when did George Bernard Shaw become aware of his existence?
It was through a boxing novel that Shaw had written in his youth in England.
Called Cashel Byron's Profession. I've never heard of it.
Yes, and most people haven't. But it was written – it was his fourth try at novel writing. He wrote about five of them that did not succeed commercially. But it had some very powerful thoughts in it, if you dug down far enough and reached a layer that might have touched on Gene Tunney and Flesh and Blood some 50 years later after the book was written. And Shaw saw him in Flesh and Blood and couldn't believe it when he saw him.
Well, in many ways, your father lived out the life of Shaw's boxer. Was he conscious of the parallels after he read the book?
That's a very good question, Leonard. I really do not know.
Well, how much did he know about George Bernard Shaw? Shaw was a major literary celebrity at the time, one of the world's most famous playwrights.
He definitely was. And how they crossed or they came together was that the great gentleman Jim Corbett, one of the great fighters of all time, who was a mentor of Dad's at early age, at about 8, 9, 10. And Gentleman Jim had by now left the ring, and he was starring as Cashel Byron in a purloined a play version of the book.
And not paying royalties.
Not paying royalties, right. This is early times for that kind of thing. So Dad saw all that, and he paid attention to it and saw that it was Bernard Shaw, and it went on from there.
Well, he became an undefeated world boxing champion. But once the press learned of his bookish ways, they made fun of him. Today, that probably would be celebrated.
You think so?
Whenever I read about an athlete who also reads books, and just reads any books, the New York Times makes a big thing about it and talks about how this is so odd within a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team.
Actually, the New York Times always did like Gene Tunney.
They did.
Even then, yeah. But they were one of the few that did.
Was he seen as perhaps rising or being trying to rise above his class?
It seemed that way, I think, to a lot of his friends. And obviously that brought forth the expected reaction. But he got at both ends, you know. He was always an Irishman trying to push social barriers coming from the west side down in the Greenwich Village with his white lace, so to speak. So he had it from both ends. He tried to go back, or he would go back to the old stamping grounds, and they'd say, "What are you doing trying to go there with all the wasps and things like that?" So he couldn't win.
Well, and then he married a woman from a privileged background, similar to the character in Cashel Byron's Profession.
That's how he won.
Uh-huh.
He did do that. He made the jump. He decided to make the leap from Greenwich Village, New York, to Greenwich, Connecticut.
And what about your mother? Did she have any reservations about getting into a relationship with a boxer?
She most certainly did, and so did the rest of her family. But Gene sold himself very well on the whole family, and they took to him.
Well, he was also hanging out with some pretty impressive people. He was socializing at the height of his celebrity with people like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Thornton Wilder, Ernest Hemingway. Was he comfortable in those literary circles?
Very much so. Very much so. And it was a very mutual admiration. Because remember, they weren't boxers. They couldn't physically get in when the disputes were up and finish the dispute once and for all. They couldn't do it. Hemingway couldn't do it. And the writers couldn't do it. But the boxer could do it.
Well, he did also try other things, like he dabbled in acting.
Yes.
And then how did he meet Shaw?
He met Shaw through Cashel Byron's Profession, and producer in Hollywood got a hold of him when Dad was champion in 1926. and said, we want you to star as Cashel Byron, and we'd like to have Shaw adapt the play to the screen.
Was he still boxing at the time?
He was champion and was still boxing. He had 2 years to go. He quit in 28.
They met on a vacation in the island of Brioni on the Adriatic Sea. How was that arranged?
They actually didn't meet there. They had already met before they got to the island. Jean and Polly were honeymooning on Brioni, and they were invited to go to a luncheon that Shaw threw at his flat in London. And so Jean and Polly showed up, and they were telling the Shaws about what a beautiful place Brioni was. Then they're honeymooning there, and the Shaw said, well, gee, we may come to visit you. And that's how it happened.
And your dad once said that the time he spent with Shaw was a postgraduate course in the art of living and thinking. What do you think Shaw gained from it? Did he ever say anything other than his relationship with your father allowed him to plant his feet on solid ground?
Yeah, he said more than that. He extended himself to a younger man like Jean. Jean was sort of the embodiment of his Superman type. And it allowed Shaw to feel young again and feel useful again. I think that was the biggest way.
They both had strong political and social opinions, didn't they?
They did.
Were they similar?
Would
your father have been a Shavian?
Yes, they were similar at that period of time. But as time went on, Dad kind of went off into capitalism and became a businessman. And Shaw stayed with his socialism, and they weren't so close politically.
Although he kept all of the royalties from the performances of his plays.
Yes.
Didn't the global press hound them trying to understand the nature of this unusual friendship?
Yes, they thought it was very odd, the odd couple.
So did they have to try to do things to keep their meetings private?
I think Shaw wanted to, and Dad wanted to, because Dad had had a bad time with the press toward the end of his career. And so on Brioni, they thought they would escape the press, and it turned out they did not escape the press. In fact, the most popular picture of them both together was taken on Brioni. It's the cover of my book right now. That was on Brioni in 1929. Yeah.
Well, you're a child of his later age. Did he talk much about this with you when you were growing up?
Well, he did up to a point, yeah. He did. He was a bit in another world. He used to talk about Thornton Wilder. He used to talk about Hemingway. But he talked about Shaw was a spiritual father to Dad, and as well as an intellectual father and a mentor, 41 years older than Dad. Yeah, Dad had two of a bust where he loved to sit in the living room of our house. There was a big bust by Joe Davidson of Shaw, and then over here was a big, beautiful picture by Sir John Lavery of Shaw. And every time Dad would sit in the chair, that's the first thing he looked at. And it was pretty obvious that what had the most meaning to him in life, though he didn't talk about it readily and all the time, but we certainly knew about Shaw. We never met him.
J.R. Tunney, one of how many children?
Four.
He has written magazine articles and essays for publications, including the New York Times Magazine, Asian Wall Street Journal, the Hartford Current, the Annual of Bernard Shaw Studies, and the Independent Shavian. His latest book is The Prize Fighter and the Playwright, Jean Tunney and Bernard Shaw, published by Firefly. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Leonard, very much.